Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Chris Cameron, my co-host, Felicity Sidnell Reed, and our guest this week, prize-winning poet Matthew King. Matthew, first of all, I have to ask you, did you spend a lot of time at the zoo getting inspiration for the camel poem?
Well, Brenda and I live near Marmara, so we're about half an hour or 40 minutes away from the Peterborough Zoo, so, you know, we don't get over there too often, but it's a great zoo, and it's free. And as far as free zoos go, it might be the best one in the world. I don't know. Yeah, that camel Gobi. He was always the most remarkable thing about the Peterborough Zoo, and he was frightening. He was really alarming, and I didn't want to get too close to him. But yeah, Gobi was a phenomenon.
Leads me to my next question. Your poems seem to have a lot to do with nature and animals and interaction between the two. Do you find these topics particularly fascinating to write about?
Yeah, especially in the last year, I've been writing a lot about animals, in particular Wally, I should say, the Wally who's mentioned at the end of the camel poem, in kind of a coda to that poem, which I wasn't sure at the time whether I should include it as part of that poem or not. Wally was Brenda's and my cat's. He was the best cat. He was the best cat I've ever known. And we had to have him put to sleep right around the time that I was writing that camel poem. And so Wally's death was very much with me at that time. And Wally looking into my eyes, I mean, which is what that coda to that the camel poem is about. Wally looking into my eyes, and he was stoned out of his mind. Mm-hmm. And his pupils were wide, and he was just looking at me like, this is just totally new. So that thing about Wally's eyes and the camel's eye, it's a thing that I've come back to in a number of poems in the last year about animals seeing. And I talked earlier about what it is that Heidegger's trying to get at in his philosophy and what that speaks to and what I'm trying to get at it in poetry, which is, you know, the happening of being to us and our experiencing of the happening, you could say the shining of being, and that's a thing that happens to animals too. But they're in a peculiar position in relation to it, as opposed to us, because we can know it's happening and we can talk about it and it can seem really amazing and incredible to us, but animals are just in it. They're just swimming in it. They're immersed in it. And there is this miraculousness that they're just involved in.
Yeah. But I want to switch gears here and talk a little bit about form. How would you describe your own poetry in terms of traditional forms or pre-verse, or do you just write as it comes to you?
I've always been attracted to the traditional forms. When I was a later adolescent, I decided it would be an arbitrary life goal of mine to write as many sonnets as Shakespeare. And I actually still carry around a little volume of Shakespeare's sonnets in my backpack, which is just kind of a talisman. I don't actually read it because it's probably toxic by now. It's very moldy. But the sonnet form is always something I really liked. And I love discovering new forms. I recently discovered a new form, new to me, called triolet, which is a very short little poetic form. It's only 8 lines and 2 of them repeat. And so it's a really fun, simple thing to write. So I've been writing a few of those. Recently in my poetry, I've been trying to transcend the bounds of forms in a way, although my poetry is rarely just free verse, and sometimes it looks like it's free verse, but isn't really, and the camel poem is like that.
I certainly hear instances of assonance and alliteration through the camel poem that are obviously on purpose, and they're obviously poetic rather than just plain prose, so I can see that, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the camel poem in particular, so when I started writing it, and this is the way I start writing, I guess, a number of my poems, that I just sort of, I write them as, you could say, prose first. And because there's a, you know, there's this kind of thing, idea, phenomenon, situation that I want to talk about, and so I just sort of start laying it out. And then I start sort of, you know, seeing if I got any lines there. Because, you know, I feel like, I mean, one thing that I feel about what poetry is and how to do it is the basic unit of the poem is the line. And if I got any good lines, and if there's a good line there, then I might use that as kind of a starting point. And if it's got a rhythm to it, and if it's got a meter to it, then I'll sort of use that as a base. the camel poem, there was this thing that started happening, and I think it just came out of that first line. There's a sign that tells you what to do. There's a mm-hmm. sign that tells you what to do. And I like that because it's got a good rhythm to it, and I like that da 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 because it sort of moves like a camel moves, and so the rest of what I'd sort of written out in a prosy kind of way, I started sort of massaging to fit that kind of rhythm and those beats.
Quite fascinating. I'd love to hear about the process. It's great. I want to shift gears one more time because I want to leave time for you to read some more of your poetry. Yeah. And besides writing poetry, you're also a well-known photographer, and you have a website dedicated to your photographic work. Could you just speak briefly about your photographs? And what I'd love to know is whether there's a connection between the photographs and the poetry.
Yeah, I mean, there's a connection in that, you know, I take pictures of, you could say, nature. I write poems about nature. My poetry website is called Birds and Bees and Blooms. And I mean, there's a funny thing about how I started taking pictures in this gradually more and more serious kind of way, that there was just a tulip blooming at the front of my house, and I wanted to, actually it was an iris, but it doesn't matter what it was. A little poetic license there. I call it a tulip. There was a flower blooming at the front of my house, and I wanted to take a picture of it because it was a nice flower. And then I looked at the picture, and it had a bug on it. And I liked that. And it sort of became a funny thing that I wanted to do, taking pictures of flowers with bugs on them. And at first it was a funny thing, but then I got more and more interested in these bugs and the differences between them and all the details that show up in them when you start looking at them closely. And so, you know, obviously there's a kind of connection between that and poetry generally, you know, looking at a particular thing in some detail and bringing out what's there in it. So there's that.
Great explanation, actually. I like that, yes. Well, listen, I wanted to, as I say, I want to leave some more time for you to read us some more of your poems. We have a few minutes left, so could you grace us?
All right. I'll start with one that I mentioned earlier, the one that got me restarted writing poetry a year ago. It's called What Loss? What Loss? Failed and fading flower flung across the casket, counting crazy. 1, 2, 5, 2, 3, 2. To waste away the way from 1 to 2 to 3 to 2. To hear, hear, or listen, listing, lost and found, or frail and ailing, bowed and bending back. Break apart, played out, laid out and waiting, weighing heavy hand on heart. Beaten, broken, stopped. Shock. Restart, start over, start again. Start, over, 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 stop. What loss? So that's a different kind of poem.
I enjoy it. It's a performance piece in a way, isn't it?
It is.
Okay, you have another one for us?
This one's called Common Red Poles. I didn't know I'd seen them, maybe for weeks, before I found them, conducting a census for science with binoculars. Among the regulars, two common red poles. No more common than that. Day after day, I'd pick out those two. Then one day, three, then 10. Then uncountable by ones, but estimable by dozens. Those first two would be heroes among the Red Poles, if you knew which ones they were. If they know themselves and haven't forgotten the time, they were pioneers, or last survivors for all they knew, who found this place with seeds, and seeds again, and seeds again, so you'd never need to leave. Or you'd think you never would if you'd never been through it before, and learned not to think, this is the place that never changes. But for a time it never did, when it was just those two, when they didn't know whether they were first or last or in between. For fear I'd scare them off, I kept my distance watching. But now, while dozens fly at once, as if their wings all shared a mind that minded me, the odd one stays distracted from me and not by me. And if whatever it attends to draws it close enough, accepting my pretense of invisibility, I might see past the pointy yellow beak that marks it of its kind, to the soft hinges of its mouth, to feel in my hand the ticky-tack of toes and ghosts of feathery breath I've held before, and see it as I've been surprised to see become incarnate and cardboard each wounded fallen bird, patient of my helpless care, no longer observed as to species, but witnessed as it lives, a moment more and a moment more.
Thanks so much. That was beautiful. Many thanks to Matthew King, winner of the Poetry Prize for the Spirit of the Hills Festival of the Arts, for coming in and talking to us about his poetry, his photography, and his philosophy. We don't have many philosophers in here, so it's great to hear it. He was awarded his prize at the festival concert and the launch of Hill Spirits 4 on October 26th, and his prize-winning poem is published in the anthology. Thank you again for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.
To connect with us, please send comments, queries, and suggestions for who we might interview in future programs to us at our website, wordonthehills.com, where all these programs are archived and available to listeners at any time. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.